Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is April 8th, 2024. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Weed Witches Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, "You and I possess within ourselves at every moment of our lives, under all circumstances, the power to transform the quality of our lives," by Werner Erhard. So our flower this week is the Sweet Pea. And this is kind of in honor of all those April birthdays, as Sweet Pea is the flower of April. So we're going to talk about the history of the Sweet Pea. And this comes to us from Cashman Nursery and Landscaping. Fragrant sweet pea flowers are native to Sicily and southern Italy. A Sicilian monk named Capuni sent seed to Dr. Irvedale in England in the 17th century. The sweet pea flower named Capuni is thought to be the most like the native. And in 1730, a sweet pea flower named Painted Lady was developed. Now, Eckford from Scotland worked on sweet pea breeding and developed the Daphiflora types, which have larger flowers and more color selection. Then, in Althorp, England, at the country seat of the Earl of Spencer, cross-produced the Prima Donna and other outstanding sweet peas called Spencers. The Royal Series was developed by Ferry Morse Company and the U.S. Frank Cuthbertson. From the Ferry Morse Co., cross Spencer, and an early flowering sweet pea to produce the Cuthbertson type. Sometimes it blows my mind that, like, you can crossbreed flowers. And I only know you can do this because of The Sims. Because in The Sims, you can do that if, like, your gardening skill is way up. And I learned a lot from The Sims about cultivating gardens. Okay, so moving into some headlines, this comes to us from yahoolife.com, and this is from Hello Giggles, and I wanted to mention this because Rachel True is a friend of the podcast, and she has always been really kind to me, as well as Witch Way and The Witch Daily Show. Rachel True from The Craft reveals she wasn't invited to the film's press junket for the most heartbreaking reason. One of the greatest things about the 1996 teen movie The Craft, besides Skeet Ulrich getting thrown out a window, of course, was Rachel True's Rochelle Zimmerman and her ahead-of-its-time plot line about racist bullying in a very white town in the 90s. True, now 50, is closer to her character than ever. I actually think she's closer to 55 now. She works as an intuitive tarot reader at the House of Intuition in Los Angeles, offering readings for clients over the phone or in person, while also occasionally landing some acting roles. However, True revealed in an interview Thursday that it wasn't just within the confines of the film that she struggled to belong in predominantly white spaces. Through filming The Craft, and she said it was just as much fun as you'd think and a blast, she also experienced an infuriating instance of racism when she wasn't invited to participate in the movie's press junket alongside the rest of its stars. Which, could you imagine? Like, she is a quarter of the main cast. You know what I mean? So that's like, that's like having two of the three Charmed ones do interviews. It doesn't make any sense. Quote, "To this day, my friends are like, let it go," she said. "But it just seemed a little racist back then, to be honest. Then you have four girls in a movie and you don't include the black one. I did end up going to one junket because one of the other actors called the producer and said, 'What's happening here? Will you please include her?' So they did." Oh, gosh. So that's so sad. So for unacquainted, for those unacquainted with press junkets, know that the studio inviting Robin Tunney, Fariza Balk, and Neve Campbell to promote The Craft, but not the fourth star of the film, is not normal at all. Prue noted that things have really changed and times were different then, but still, it's heartbreaking that she went through this in the first place. And it's tough not to think of how her career might have grown if Hollywood made more space for Black actresses 20 years ago. And I know when we interviewed Rachel, she talked about how, like, just the roles for, women, but especially Black women, older Black women, just are not substantial. And yeah, I completely agree with this article. Like, if there had been more space 20 years ago, you know, would that have made more room for better roles? And it's, you know, something that we think about. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, April 8th. The new moon is eclipsed in the furnace of Aries today. Here, the moon conjuncts the sun and Chiron. This is a much-anticipated eclipse, as it is visible in parts of the U.S. Since it's a total solar eclipse, its impact will be particularly powerful. We don't often have such a meaningful astrological event bring Chiron to the forefront, but the exact conjunction of the eclipse to Chiron is hard to ignore. Chiron's transit often points to places in our lives that could use some extra care and attention. His main focus is healing, but first, we must find the places that hurt. This is not the most pleasant process, as we often try to ignore the places that hurt that we have a hard time healing. But this eclipse will make that impossible. Be gentle with yourself today, as Chiron brings up those parts of you that you've been neglecting. You may not have the bandwidth to heal those things right this moment, but Chiron is asking you to make it a priority when you do have the capacity. Your daily moon mantra is, be the love you never received. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Attention, witches! This is Nina Moreau broadcasting a special alert from the Grimoire Society. We ask that witches please remember to subscribe to the new monthly newsletter. While we love psychically sending you every spell, recipe, penny dreadful, and conjure advice that we have, spirit representatives have asked that we cease clogging up the ether. We have contracted a special team of messenger pigeons to deliver your monthly newsletter directly to your doorstep. For only $5, you can sign up for this elusive serial at www.thegrimoiresociety.com. Remember, this notice is for witches only. If you are not a witch and have somehow come across this broadcast, you will forget all that you've heard in 3, 2.
So we have a witch win from listener Melissa. Melissa says, hey fam, got a small witch win. I've been trying to learn to read Lenormand cards. It hasn't been clicking for months and the card pulls just haven't made sense. But the last 7 pulls over many days have been spot on, including one slap in the face. I think I'm finally developing a relationship with my deck. Melissa, that is so incredible. I'm definitely going to be doing my Lenormand classes in July again this year. I did them last year. I did 7. I think I limited it to 10 spots, and it was over 4 courses plus a free one-on-one. And I love Lenormand. I think it's so magical and wonderful and special. And I want people to love it and form a relationship with it. And hearing that it finally clicked, and honestly, just hearing that you kept with it is so impressive, Melissa. I feel like we sometimes struggle to keep with things when they get difficult, but you just stuck with it and you did it. And I'm so proud of you. Congratulations. Sam says, I love this. I'm always still a little delighted when I get such a clear message. I responded and I said, yay, building a relationship with your deck is so important. I'm happy that you found a groove. And Teresa said, excellent. I love when things click and they have really clicked for you. Oh, that's so cool. So one of our listeners Terry wanted us to talk about gnomes. So I'm like, all right, you know how much I love gnome stuff. So I'm like, let's dig in. I love gnomes. I have questions. I think they're amazing, wild, and wonderful. So this comes to us from Mythos. Wait, is this a game? Hang on. Let me hang on real tight. Okay, here we go. Sometimes I find information and it's for video games, and that can get really confusing. Okay, so this comes to us from SalisburyGreenhouse.com, the mysterious mythology of garden gnomes. So with their pointed hats and bushy white beards, just about everything or everyone recognizes a garden gnome when they see one. Gnomes are one of the oldest surviving gardening trends, yet few of us know why. As it turns out, your neighbor's bizarre little garden troll has a story steeped in tradition and controversy. Whether you adore these little guys or you're in the no means no camp, the history behind them is undeniably interesting. So what the heck is a gnome? Gnomes, those miniature folks with billy goat beards, are mythical beings with a strange and interesting background. The word gnome comes from the Latin gnomus or Greek gnosis, which have roots in the Greek words knowledge of hidden treasure and earth dweller. The traditional gnome is closely linked to the mythology of the classical elements, earth, air, water, and fire, and were said to be the nocturnal protectors of earth. Legend has it that gnomes live underground where they guard the nearby plant life. Supposedly, rays of sunshine could turn a gnome into stone. Most folklore refers to gnome-like beings and how they originate primarily from European countries like Germany, Iceland, Ireland, Switzerland, and France, as well as other countries of Scandinavia. However, there are also references in Japanese culture of similar beings really close to the European gnome known as the yokai. According to tradition, gnomes were responsible for a lot of the hidden processes of plant life and were important symbols to Northern European farmers. With that in mind, it makes sense that they became popular in Germany in the mid-1800s when Philip Gable made the first garden gnome from terracotta clay. So sightings of garden gnomes in Edmonton are relatively rare today, but in their heyday, they were a must-have garden accessory. Their popularity spread across Europe and into the United States, where they became a highly fashionable gardening decor item. Of course, like all trends, the garden gnome has cycled in and out of favor. Garden gnome styles have varied massively, from traditional style clay statuary to made-in-China resin gnomes. Which can, like, sometimes have football logos, like, logos on them. In the popular 2001 French film Amelie, the titular character steals a neighbor's garden gnome and sends him photographs and postcards of the ornament's travels around the world. Now, it's hard to believe that an innocent-looking gnome could incite strong feelings, but the world is a weird place. So, while avid collectors of garden gnomes have been around for decades, there have been a few periods in history when stealing gnomes have been a popular pastime for teenage pranksters. There are even subcultures dedicated to releasing gnomes into the wild, like the French group Front de Libération des Gnomes de Jardin, so Garden Gnome Liberation Front, and its Italian counterpart, MLAG. Yes, there is an international conspiracy to return garden gnomes to nature. However, with respect to local garden gnomes, Edmonton appears to be neutral territory. Gnomes have also been at the center of class disputes. The Chelsea Flower Show is a highly prestigious English gardening event that went so far as to ban the garden gnomes. Organizers said that they were a distraction from the garden designs. In response, pro-gnome activists argued that the rule was classist snobbery, and as garden gnomes are the most popular among working-class gardeners. Garden gnomes have somehow stuck around despite many surprising obstacles. Personally, I found more than one. More I know about them, the more I like them. So if you're on Team Gnome, your options are endless, and if you find a gnome made from solid stone that blends into traditional designs contemporary fiberglass gnomes, engage in silly activities, or even custom garden gnomes for those with specific tastes. Ultimately, provided your garden gnome makes you smile, it has served a purpose. While I wouldn't count on your gnome to work any real magic in your garden, they do bring a charming presence to your outdoor decor. With their stranger-than-fiction history, who knows, you might end up finding some of the buried treasure after all. Gnomes. I love the idea of having a gnome, and it makes me super kind of want one, but I also don't know, like, what kind of gnome I would get. Like, I feel like I would get a gargoyle gnome. Is that a thing? Can that be a thing? Can we make it a thing? All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of The Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Dancing Crone. Dancing Crone, you celestial, dapper spider queen. Sherry Taylor, you spiffy, splendid sunfish. Midnight Lightning, you luminous, insidious barn owl. And Lisa Lord, you talented, thoughtful muskox. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headlines, sources, anything we talked about today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.